Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate-level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Thank you for each and every one of you who will join us tonight, either by way of live stream on Facebook, thank you, Facebook, or our Blog Talk Radio platform. I recognize there were some technical difficulties that the platform is working on, but I think we're straight now, and hopefully we can make it through the next hour or so in dialogue. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dockery again, and we're grateful again for each of you that have been participating with us over the last 8 years. Eight years. Very much happy and appreciative of that. So let me call tonight into the studio and engage in live dialogue is 563-999-3617. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. Love to have you and dialogue with you. I'm looking for my co-host to join us and I get in Pastor Lomax here in Nashville, Tennessee. But you, I encourage you to give us a call here. We do have a topic tonight. And I'm grateful that we have an opportunity to share with you on this Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. It's Black History Month. Appropriately, we'd like to intimate a thought or topic that is related to that, something that we can learn from, particularly our young. All right? It's been 59 years since Brother Malcolm's voice has been silenced, also known as Malik al-Haj Shabazz. And it's been 56 years since Brother King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., voice has been silenced. Both of these historical voices had a tremendous impact on the socioeconomic and general well-being and progress of Afro-American subculture. But sadly, the current generation has little to no understanding, with any knowledge at all, of the message that each of them preach. Some historians try to pit them against one another, but I would argue that they were moving in the same direction at the time they both passed. All right? preached this message decades ago, over 5 decades ago. And here we are in 2024, and we've got young people, particularly African American youth, who understand little if they know anything about it. What's most important for us to consider is that the further and further away our young people get away from this message in their ear, in their heart, in their mind, the less likely this voice of influence will sustain itself. And that's something we can do something about, particularly in doing this Black History Month and beyond. All right? We don't want that message to be silent forever. Some people will say Malcolm X was too radical and therefore his voice is not worthy of being heard. Fully hogwash. Some would even argue that Dr. King had faults and his voice shouldn't be heard. Foolishness, hogwash. There are lessons to be learned. We talked about Dr. Carter G. Woodson last week, last time we were on. And here we are now talking about Malcolm and Martin. Black history message. 2024. That is our topic. That is our topic for the night. Malcolm and Martin. Black history message. 2024. Alright? Still in here. Again, the number to call is 562-999-3617. Love to have you participate with us there. And the step rate finish. Wow. Time is gone. Can you believe this? The month is pretty much gone. We've got 8 more days for this month. And I think it's here, so we may have 9 more days for this month is gone. But go ahead and join us. The biblical text that guides our thought, excuse me, in our dialogue, is found in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And we will look at verses 9 and 10 and relate that to this discussion, the message about Malcolm and Martin. And what we will strive to do is to have a posthumous dialogue with these brethren, and you'll hear from them in their voice in the conversation. Then you and I, as you call in, we can have dialogue about what it means and what it means now. More importantly, what it can mean as a basis of instruction for our young and our old moving forward. Fair enough? All right. Isaiah 28, chapter in the 9th verse reads like this in the King James version. Whom shall teach knowledge, and whom shall make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, and drawn from the breast. Interesting. Verse 10 says this, for precept must upon precept. Yes, precept upon precept. Line upon line. I repeat it, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Let me just kind of dig into that just here. What we in the text is that everybody is not equipped to speak on certain things because they lack understanding. But for sure, those who are most equipped and are experts or qualified to share, to teach, to inform, to empower, are those who understand the focus in the direction of doctrine, things that are codified, written for the good of all. What we mean by doctrine. And they are no longer the milk to feed them. They even state them and potatoes, if you will. They're not looking for no more mama's breast milk. Huh? Yeah. We grown now. We grown for we find our food somewhere else. Superior understanding. Precept, structure, discipline. Things that are written down, codified, must be in order. This is what we need in 2024 in order for us to ensure that our young people gain and maintain stronghold, that they're able to not stop. start all over and reinvent the wheel. But they can benefit from the lessons of old and the best practices of the 400 some years of Afro-American presence in the United States of America. Okay? Now, I hear people often talking about how bad America is and it's not fair to the black man. As a snippet of truth that historically, by design, it was unfair. The system was unfair. But in 2024, you have the best chance and opportunity to be independent, self-sufficient, and self-determined than you ever have. The black man, if you will. You've heard me talk about Negro, black, and color, making reference to the various classifications that have been labeled on the people in America. Negro first being identified because he was dark from the Spanish and the slave trade. Then colored because our people had been mixed by slave masters. Then black because of the Renaissance era, this desire to break away from those titles, those Roman churches, to self-identify with a capital B, black, a noun, not an adjective, color, but a noun. Right? Then later, after being aware of the history and the past and the continent we call Africa, then some now since 1980 or so, African American. So here we are, it's 2024. What's most important is that you know the truth, and the truth makes. Let me get a little bit of film tips on a change of standpoint. This one is done by Father Sandor, Brian Owens, and his dad. Give us a call here, 563-999-3617. This is your host, Brother Doctor. We're talking from the topic Malcolm and Martin. Black message. Come on, give me a call here, 563-999-3617. If you don't reach me tonight for whatever reason, you're going to keep on putting the information out. You're going to drop it like it's hot. But you can send me a question or inbox me if you want to start further this dialogue, this discussion with you. Come across this on Facebook, okay? I'll do that with you. But for now, what we're going to do is we're going to keep the conversation going. And what I'm going to do is bring in the voice of Brother Martin and Brother Malcolm. And I hope you prepare yourself. Don't get in the studio right now. Don't get in the car. We're going to line you up in the studio right now for the next few minutes or so. What we want to do is to have the conversation, 45 minutes, about these men and their vision and the impact that they left on all of us today. Okay? All right? And we're going to start with welcoming Dr. King. Hear you, hear you, hear you, hear you.
I need not pause to say how very delighted I am to be here. It is always a rich and rewarding experience to discuss the issues involved in that struggle with concerned friends of goodwill all over our nation.
So if Dr. King was sitting right here in front of us right now, here's a question I would pose to him. And this is related to his work. And most importantly, this is something that is a consideration for our young in particular, because they've been a care. That we focus on them. I'm not getting rid of our old folk, our elders, but this for our young, and we can be focused about what it is we teach them. Okay? Were the conditions that motivated the 1968 organized Poor People's Campaign. There are some who tried to keep that alive, and there's a group that still try to maintain that. But the day that Dr. King was killed on April 4th, he was supposed to be in Washington, D.C. at the organized Poor People's Campaign at the foot of the White House, so that they can speak to Congress about an agenda that they had. But sadly, after he was killed, it seemed to have fallen on deaf ears. So let's listen to what he said about the Poor People's Campaign and what was the motivation behind it. Right, listen to it.
I would remind you that in our own nation, there are about 40 million people who are poverty-stricken. I have seen them here and there. I've seen them in the ghettos of the north. I've seen them in the rural areas of the south. I've seen them in Appalachia. I've just been in the process of touring in many areas of our country. And I must confess that in some situations, I have literally found myself crying. I was in Marks, Mississippi the other day, which is in Quitman County, the poorest county in the United States. I tell you, I saw hundreds of little black boys and black girls walking the streets with no shoes to wear. I saw their mothers and their fathers trying to carry on a little Head Start program, but they had no money. The federal government hadn't funded them. They were trying to carry on, and they raised a little money here and there, trying to get a little food to feed the children, trying to teach them a little something. And I saw mothers and fathers who said to me, not only were they unemployed, but they didn't get any kind of income, no old age pension, no welfare check or anything. I said, how do you live? They say, well, we go around to the neighbors and ask them for a little something. When the berry season comes, we pick berries. When the rabbit season comes, we hunt and catch a few rabbits. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And I was in Newark and Harlem just this week.
Just stop right there. What you hear him saying back in the 60s is that his observation about poverty at that time throughout the South and up North and other places drove him to put together this organized movement called the Poor People's Campaign. And what we should take away from this is the fact that SCLC did not just limit it to African Americans, the Negroes, as they were called at the time. But they opened it up to poor whites as well. Now, interestingly enough, we have a third ethnic group, or a number of different groups now, who are vying for limited resources. They're considered to be poverty stricken. Aliens that are coming in to the country. Chicago, Denver, Colorado, California, New York, in particular, are struggling with that. But poverty, the lesson here, and I think this is the point that he would have driven home then he was here. Poverty is more of a mindset than it is a physical reality. The condition requires one to be of a certain mindset. What Dr. King would have you know, and our young people know, is in America today, you don't live in poverty. It is possible for you to participate in the system of the enterprise and to basically determine your quality of life economically, financially. Oh, somebody's going to say, no, that ain't true because slavery. Yes, slavery existed. Yes, barriers to Jim Crow. In 2024, not so much. Now, obstacle is your mindset. You see? Because other folk are coming to this country to take advantage of opportunities that they see from afar. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to tell our young babies, we're going to tell our babies, get your education. Don't be distracted by foolishness in school. Learn how to master reading and math and science and the arts so that you can have a strong understanding of a universal world and you can be able to become a productive citizen in your society. You see? We can't allow all these dangling carrots and social issues and hot blood issues and what have you, people using your plight and using you to advance an agenda. See, some people are looking for job security, so it is advantageous to young black males in particular, and now young females, run around like wild animals committing crimes, going in and out, recidivism and rate high in the juvenile detention. And some of them, the only graduation they see is to go to the adult correction facility. That's why we want to stop this. So we want to look at how we do that in our state, our schools, the education of our children, whether that be traditional public, whether it be homeschool, whether it be private school option. Yes. And with all due respect to our teachers, what we need is to make sure the babies are educated so that they don't have to be stuck in a poverty-stricken circumstance. And Malcolm in just a minute. So one of the things he intimated is the fact that when you go to you come from a poor home in a poor neighborhood, you go to a terrible school, you get a poor education, you're pushed out of there, and you have a poor understanding of life. That's right. You're doomed to live in poverty. You do is turn that around. All right? You're listening to Talk Street. This is your host, the doctor, 562-999-3617. Give me a call right now. 562-999-3617. I really hope somebody gets this message tonight on this Black History Month evening, on this podcast. I'd love to talk with you about it. But if you don't call me, I'm going to keep talking to you. Because I've got a little bit more at that point. Let's listen to Dr. King's response to this particular inquiry. He just told us what was in his mind about putting it. He understands that everywhere in these different places he traveled, he saw poverty. Right? And he put together an agenda with it. Southern Christians put together an agenda that they were going to bring to the president and to Congress to focus legislation and address it. So the next question is, feels guilty in America. I've heard some of my people suggest that if you own a business, if you have any resources and you have any kind of wealth, you're prejudiced. That you're racist. No, beloved. That's not the mindset you and our children have. Unless you want them to stay in poverty. This is an economic United States of America. And it's based on capitalism. And system of enterprise. What we ought to teach our children is the rules of the game so they can win, win, win in the game. You understand? Not to be a victim, but to be a victor in the game. Let's see what Dr. King, how he responds to that. Let's see. Come on, Doc.
Jesus told a parable one day. And he reminded us that a man went to hell because he didn't see the poor. His name was Dives. He was a rich man. And there was a man by the name of Lazarus, who was a poor man, but not only was he poor, he was sick. Sores were all over his body. He was so weak that he could hardly move. He managed to get to the gate of Dives every day, wanting just to have the crumbs that would fall from his table. Dives did nothing about it. And the parable ends saying, Dives went to hell, and there was a fixed gulf now between Lazarus and Dives. And that is nothing in that parable which says that Dives went to hell because he was rich. Jesus never made a universal indictment against all wealth. It is true that one day a rich young ruler came to him and he advised him to sell all. But in that instance, Jesus was prescribing individual surgery and not setting forth a universal diagnosis. And if you will look at that parable with all of its symbolism, you will remember that a conversation took place between heaven and hell. And on the other end of that long distance call between heaven and hell was Abraham in heaven, talking to Dives in hell. Now, Abraham was a very rich man. If you go back to the Old Testament, you see that he was the richest man of his day. So it was not a rich man in hell talking with a poor man in heaven. It was a little millionaire in hell talking with a multimillionaire in heaven. Dives didn't go to hell because he was rich. Dives didn't realize that his wealth was his opportunity. It was his opportunity to bridge the gulf that separated him from his brother Lazarus. Dives went to hell because he passed by Lazarus every day and he never really saw him. He went to hell because he allowed his brother to become invisible.
Now, this notion that if you own a business, if you have any acquiring any wealth, or you have any material gain, that you're a devil, you're part of a white man, or you're somebody that's an oppressor, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Let me say it again. That is foolishness. What you all be trying to figure out is, how do I get it? But listen to what Dr. King is saying. He's saying that when you have that and you fail to share knowledge, you fail to empower others around you, your brother, that's the problem. That's the problem. Now, what if your brother don't want to do right? Well, you let him know. You can choose to live in poverty or we can share wealth together. But you're not going to come and take what I have worked and built and developed and tear it down. That dog will not hurt. You understand? What Dr. King was saying is that there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, even if you're African American, Negro, colored, or black. Nothing wrong with it. The problem is when you allow your to place you above your brother. Now, how do you love your brother as yourself? You tell him to be just like you did. No free walk. Put the work in. Huh? Get it done. This is the point that if we today in 2024 are honest, intellectually honest, that we can have with young folks that have the greatest opportunity and possibility of producing things for themselves. Nothing in life is going to come easy. And if it comes free, watch out. The likely succeed to pass. But when you work for it, there's dignity in your effort and in your work. And you deserve a reward. Huh? That's what we got to tell you. You've got to be willing to put something in. You do. Nobody but you. 563-999-3617. That's the number to call. Come on, come on. We still got a little time. We just got about 30 minutes for me to talk with you. So we done heard two things from Dr. King already. One, he understood by observation, and we see that today in 2024, that there are people that are living in poverty. But you don't have to. There's something that you can do to change that. That your community, your churches, your social organizations, your families. One of the things is bring fathers back so that we can break cycles of poverty and take of despair. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. That means we ain't got time for that other foolishness that is antithetical to the strong. We ain't got time for that, man. We ain't got time for that because we behind already. But yeah, we ain't got time for the foolishness. Things we got to do. And that's one of them. That's one of them. All right? Then Dr. King told us that there's absolutely nothing wrong with wealth. In fact, we should pass that down. The Bible talks about a father passing down an inheritance to his children. Nothing wrong with that. Now, you're being greedy and you're stealing and you're cutting folks out. That's another story. But to work hard and to build and amass wealth for yourself, absolutely nothing wrong with that. They ain't got nothing to do with you, where you come from, hard work. What matters is how you finish. Huh? It is not necessarily limited skill of a man or a woman of that man or that woman to do for themselves. All right? Okay, so we just heard from Brother Malcolm. We just heard from Brother Malcolm. I'm sorry, from Brother Dr. King. Now, let's hear from Brother Malcolm. Got a couple of questions. If Brother Malcolm was here today, we would ask him. All right? Brother Malik Al-Haj Shabazz, after he went on his pilgrimage to Mecca, he grew up and he learned to actually think for himself, not to be cuddled by one individual's thought or a group of individuals, but to think for himself. Process things, right? And draw his own important lesson that our young people need to learn. Critical thinking for yourself. Not because of what the crowd has done or said, but what you have found to be a truth based on your own experience. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Don't y'all want to be free today? I know you want to be free. I know you want to be free. All right? Let's listen to let's ask Malcolm this question. If we had him in the room with us today, here's a question that I would pose. How do we control the economics of the Afro-American, Negro, Black community? Let's see what Malcolm says. Let's see what he says.
We should own, operate, and control the economy of our community. You would never find, you can't open up a black store in a white community. White man won't even patronize you. And he's not wrong. Either he got sense enough to look out for himself. And you don't have sense enough. community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. You and I are in a double track because not only do we lose by taking our money someplace else and spending it, when we try and spend it in our own community, we're trapped because we haven't had sense enough to set up stores and control the business of our community. The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do. He's a man who doesn't even live in the community. So you and I, even when we try and spend our money in the block where we live or the area where we live, we're spending it with a man who, when the sun goes down, takes that basket full of money in another part of the town. So we're trapped, double trapped, triple trapped. Anywhere we go, we find that we're trapped. And every kind of solution that someone comes up with is just another trap. Those are people. The importance of setting up these little stores.
Double trap, triple trap. But Brother Malcolm is saying that you have got to take control of the variables, of the economics, the store, the food, the social. If you're waiting on somebody else to do that, you're subject to it. I got my good friend Pastor Riley in with us. Pastor, how you doing, sir?
Hey, man, I'm all right now, Pastor Dockery. How you doing?
Good, sir. We've been listening to Dr. King and Malcolm X posthumously, what they said 5 decades ago. Okay? Here we are.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear you right about now.
Okay. Okay. Let me see what we can do here. Can you hear me in the back? Any better now?
Just a little bit, because it's unlike when you use it big.
Okay.
But go ahead. I can hear you, though.
You can hear me. I apologize for that. If you can't hear me too well, maybe some of the others on the podcast are having trouble hearing me as well. So what I'm saying is that Malcolm, did you hear what Malcolm was saying?
I heard a little bit of, talking about some of the things that go on in our neighborhood.
Right. He was talking about being trapped in the neighborhood, largely. He was talking about the trap that keeps people spiraling in poverty because they don't control the economics of their neighborhood. That's largely what he was talking about. And 4953 has joined us here in the conversation. And we're talking from the topic Malcolm and Martin, Black History Message for 2024. Now, what
Malcolm and Martin?
Martin Luther King, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what King said about economics is that he saw the condition and he talked about not being anti-wealth or working to produce something for yourself. And Brother Malcolm is echoing that. Some people like to say they were opposed to one another. If you ask me, they were on the same train of thought there. Saying don't shy away from building wealth. Do that. And Malcolm is saying you do that by controlling the economics of your community. So they're both on the same sheet of music. That's what we got to teach our young people in 2024. Some of them don't even know who these characters are. But that's on us as elders and as voices of influence to teach them that. Question, you feel like comment on that before we move forward?
Now you said in the end, you said it's our responsibility. I think it's basically what you said.
Yes,
control
sir.
The economics in our community. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I hear you just well.
You can hear me fine? Yeah, because it's real tough on this end. And I have someone that might want to say something. And I have this young lady. She's listening.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
But I don't know. Did you hear anything that's going on this evening?
Could
you
have anything?
Very little. So we're still listening, though. And
go ahead, Pastor. Keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, you're talking about. you're talking about what Martin and Malcolm, you know, how they put effort to bring forth quality information. That's basically what it all boiled down to, is how to, you know, do things better ourselves. You know, and if we can grab a hold to the knowledge and don't take lightly to those 5 decades that you're talking about, you know, surely, you know, after that many days, months, and years have come and gone, surely they have some type of information that can help us.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, when do we grab a hold to it? We had a study tonight, and we were talking about being strong in our faith. And if we are strong in our faith, then we can do things orderly, you know, things that will help our community. But right now, there's a trap. I know you and I talk about a lot. You know that that's working. You know the trap is working, and it's working on still people like you and I. You know what I mean? Because we're concerned about things that can be done, and that's a tough situation to be in.
It is indeed. Yes, sir. Okay. So let me bring the call in 4953. I understand that there's some issue with our sound quality. Can you hear me okay, 4953, or are you having difficulty as well?
You sound like you're underwater, man. I know that bad for you.
No, we okay, big.
I mean, you can buy a $49 phone nowadays. You still there?
Hey, Pastor Doctor. It may just have faded all the way out. You know, you never know. Hello? Pastor Doctor. It must have disappeared and faded out, but I'm sure you would do all you can to get them few minutes we have left back in there. As you say, he probably can hear us, but can't hear him because he didn't shut down for some reason.
All right, Pastor Waller, can you hear me there at all?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, how well can you
hear me?
Okay, good.
I can hear you a little bit better now.
Great. St. Louis, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it sounds like you put your shoes on.
All right. Good. I apologize for that, gentlemen. Yesterday, the whole Blog Talk system was down for a while, and they got it back up, and I guess we're kind of adjusting here. But nonetheless, we apologize, Facebook live stream and Blog Talk Radio. We're here. We're back now. I think you all
heard. No, you were talking about that King and Martin. Martin Luther King wasn't for no autonomous black community, or should I say nation. That was Malcolm X's idea, spurring from Elijah Muhammad. And in theory, that ain't going to never happen. There's not going to be no autonomous black nation. It's just impossible for that to happen.
Well, go ahead. Let me let you finish.
I tell you, Take time with a pencil and paper and write a list of 5 to 10 things that you think that blacks could provide autonomously to only blacks in any area, let alone the whole nation. And you see that how you going to compete with a Walmart? Most blacks shop at Walmart.
Okay.
Kroger couldn't compete with them. Ann Page couldn't compete with them.
Okay.
So that's just the way it is.
All right. Well, do you mind if I respond to you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm not so sure that was exactly, certainly toward his end, where Malcolm was going. He deviated a little bit, I believe, from the teaching of the Nation of Islam, in that his primary concern was that when you control your businesses, you become a business owner in your community, in your neighborhood, you have the best chance of controlling the economics going in and out. not necessarily that you were going to compete with any other giants, as it was you provide and service yourself. And I think that was similar to what Dr. King was talking about finding ways to build wealth within the Afro-American subculture, family, and community.
Well, Malcolm X's ideology was based on what's published on the back of Muhammad Speaks newspaper today, entitled What the Muslims Want. And yes, there would be competition, because blacks now shop and have always at these other institutions, because they're able to provide what it is that they want. I mean, that's just the way it is. Okay. You have white entities that used to control hair care products.
Mm-hmm.
But now the South Koreans have taken that from them. Jews used to control the garment industry, for instance, in New York. Now Asians control that. So that's just the way it is.
Okay. I would concede that early on in Brother Malcolm's upcoming, that was the case. But I would argue that toward the end, when he organized the Afro-American Organization of Unity, I may not be saying that exactly right, but he had a different spin or position on that. But not to belittle it. Let me, Pastor Waller, you still there?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm here.
Okay. Is the other guest there with you? And I hope she's been able to hear us after we got back on track. I want to give her an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, she's sitting right here. We just got finished with a study, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, you were talking about, as I said earlier, you were saying something about the longevity of the time frame that Martin and Malcolm, you know, had assembled together.
Mm-hmm.
With the same heart desire,
yes,
basically to make a difference, you know,
yes,
for our people.
Right.
And, you know, when you have that still today, you know, being dealt with, you know, some things don't happen according to, you know, it lines me up with saying he may not come when we want him to, but he's going to be on time. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Right.
And, you know, because after all them years, we would think things would be straight by now.
By now.
We have endured hardship for a long time. But Isaiah 40 and verse 31 said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So that could be strength coming from knowing that Martin and Malcolm is still keeping hope alive among the two. And they're still trying to separate them as if they didn't really believe in each other. But they did believe in each other, you know what I mean? And so I'm saying that to say this. If you have a heart desire, the desire to change things that's changeable, then step up to it. But if you're not going to step up to it, what you're saying, you ain't talking loud, ain't saying nothing. You don't have no concern. You ain't care. But to you, you care. That's why you brought that up. And I just want to say to you, man, that's a beautiful thing. You know, you're talking about 5 decades, brother. You know?
Ago.
And but what about how long it's been, you know what I mean, when it come down to it, of just saying we can do something about it? How long has it been to see somebody step up who is of, you know, our color, I would say black, whatever they want to call it.
Okay, I got
you. Who's stepping up to make a difference, man? That's what we need right now. And so
the
sister, she might want to say something. I just wanted to see, she's just listening. She's just listening right now. And
let's hear from her.
Glad. If she wants to say something, want to say hello. You want to just say hello to him or something like that.
Hello, I'm Zelda Freeman, and I'm just listening. It's very interesting to hear y'all talking about. I have a book that's called The Gospel of Freedom, and that's related with Martin Luther King. As you read the book, you will be hearing a little about Malcolm X in the book. But if you were to Google or bring it up, you will read where he's in jail, and because of what he's been struggling through, preparing for our future nation of our the next generation. And so it's called The Gospel of Freedom, and that's and then he starts off in the beginning of the book with Jeremiah chapter 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
I just have to make that remark. Yes.
Yeah.
I have the book upstairs, and I want to tell Wallace Rick that I want to introduce him to that book, because he's going to get you're going to get to answer a whole lot of questions in that book.
Yeah.
But it's powerful.
Yeah,
okay.
That's awesome, man. You know, just the thought
right.
of it,
wow.
you know, just the mentioning of it, man, you know, talking about, you know, Martin and how, you know, he himself had a strong desire, man, to help his people, man. I mean, that's just an awesome thing. And so I'm going to turn it back over to you on that note, brother. It's nothing
okay.
like stepping up, brother. Do what you can do,
okay.
man. Keep doing what you're doing, Pastor Doctor.
Sure.
Yes, you do a beautiful
sure,
job,
sure.
Pastor
well, we appreciate awesome. That. We appreciate that. The Gospel of Freedom, I will definitely look that over. Is that by Alistine Turley, published in 2022? Okay. All right.
Yes,
we'll definitely look into that. The Gospel of Freedom. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I
yes.
think, friends, that what happens a lot of times is in the dialogue, there are individuals who instigate the conversations and the dialogue between brothers and sisters in our communities and our neighborhoods. And at the end of the day, with their instigation, we're pitted against one another as if our difference of understanding and opinion can't bring us to unity in thought. And the same thing I noticed as a dynamic with looking at the studies of the contribution and the voice of Brother Malcolm and Brother Martin, there are those who like to suggest that they were on two different ends of the spectrum. I would argue again that certainly by the time both men died, certainly Malcolm went first. And by the time, Malcolm went first. By the time Martin died, you can hear similarities in their ideas and their thoughts when it comes to how do you empower the Afro-American or the black community. When we talk about Afro or African-American, that's more apropos to today. But then they were Negroes. They were referred to as Negro. How is it that we can be unified? And those are some of the things that when we ask those questions, when you heard from them, I believe they answered it. Before we finish, though, we're going to extend the show a little bit longer than an hour because of our technical difficulty. But there is one more question that I want to ask. If I had Malcolm here, I would ask him this. And I want to get you all's feedback on the other end of this, okay? And let me show full respect to Malik Al-Haj Shabazz. That was his name at the time of his passing. He had grown into that.
In the book.
Yes.
He's an intelligent no.
So the question is, what is the general status? This was in the 60s. This is 5 decades ago now. What was the general status of black men compared in the 60s? And let's see if there are any similarities today from what Brother Malcolm is saying. And I'll get the response from St. Louis, from you, Pastor, and the sister, if she would like to weigh
black
in.
Black man in America, for the past 400 years, has been like a boy in the white man's house, begging the white man for a job, for food, clothing, and shelter. And then after the white man provides him with all of these things, he turns around and has the nerve to get angry at the white man when the white man tries to control his life. How can people, a group of people such as our people, who own no factories, have equal job opportunities competing against a race that owns the factories? The only way the two can have equal job opportunities is if black people have factories as well as white people have factories. And then we can employ whites or we can employ blacks, just like they can employ whites or they can employ blacks. But as long as the factories are in the hands of the whites, the housing is in the hands of the whites, the school system is in the hands of the whites, you have a situation where the blacks are constantly begging the whites, can they use this or can they use that? That's not any kind of equality of opportunity, nor does it lend toward one's dignity. What does a black man look like?
Okay. St. Louis, you want to respond first? Any thought to that?
Well, the Nation of Islam at one point in time had over 250,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're down about 19,000, even less than that.
Okay.
In cities where you have Muslims, quote-unquote, schools, the Muslims don't attend them.
Okay.
So those type of ideologies at that time were for thought. Did you know that the ANC of South Africa was a communist entity?
Okay.
Supported by communist countries like Russia.
Okay.
So when you look at the United States, black Christians were not adhering to Muslims. Black Catholics was not adhering to the Baptists, and so on and so on. And the reason for that, in particular, is blacks in America are not the same. They don't even look the same. You can go to some nations and go into their markets where there's a sea of people and look at them in the face. You see similarities amongst, you don't see that in the United States because they came from different positions in the
okay.
world.
Okay.
And they have
now,
taken on different ideologies.
Got you. How does that relate to the idea that when you control and own your own business, then you're in a position and to sustain your families and your quality of life? How, that's the point that he was making there. How
your
does that
son
relate?
Came out. Your son has a mechanical engineering degree, right?
Correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
So what black business is he going to work? What black manufacturing is he going to work for?
He actually owns
and
his
be
own.
Paid.
Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah, but before you can own your own in industries like that, you have to work for somebody in order to understand
sure.
how
sure.
it works.
Sure. Sure. Not a, that's true. And the idea is not that you won't start working and developing yourself, but the goal is at some point to own your own. And what we have to look at from a generational standpoint, I think your point is well taken, St. Louis, that we are behind a little bit generationally because we got young babies now who are prone to strike and kill one another, right? To rob and steal from their own neighborhoods, from homes and their neighbors. So we have to change that. I agree with that. And it's not going to happen overnight, but today we start teaching the process of doing that. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, you know what kind of business I was in, right?
Yes, 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 yes. I remember you.
I was in the building business of putting up office buildings.
Right.
Like the ones that fell in New York during 9/11, bridges.
Okay.
How many blacks do you know that does that?
I don't know a whole lot. I know of some, but I don't know a whole lot.
I don't think you know of any black steel erector in the Midwest that's putting up multi-story bridges, buildings and bridges. It's because
okay.
they don't want to. And now you're talking about a whole different thing. So that's just the way it is. If you're going to have a retail store like Walmart, Walmart don't source anything from the United States. To mention, it comes from Asian countries, in particular China.
Okay.
And that's your competition.
Okay.
You got to manufacture and produce.
Okay.
And you don't have the ability to do that. You have to walk away and try something else.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that point. Let me go to Pastor Walla and my sister over there. Question or comment, either one of you all? And that last topic with Malcolm talking about you making sure you position yourself economically to control the wealth and resources that drive your community activities, your schools and everything. Pastor?
Hey, Pastor Tom, that sounds like me talking about every black woman, every black man, every black boy and girl need to come together.
Yes, sir.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes,
that sounds like when you all become on one accord.
Uh-huh.
You have division among your own self. You know what I mean? You're belittling yourself. That's just like if I belittle you, I'm belittling myself.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Unless I'm saying that I'm not like the rest, because is everybody going to do the same job? Is everybody going to pick up the same trade? Because if that's the case, then everybody's going to be on the same accord. But some
mm-hmm.
people have different jobs.
Right.
You know,
okay.
different job titles.
Okay.
But still, if you got a job title and you care about your community, and if y'all come together, man, how can it not work if y'all come together? No matter
right.
what location you're in, it's just power in oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it's only fair for me to say, man, after 50 years, because I heard you say that earlier, you know, about that's a pretty smart amount of time, man. But I
yeah.
still believe that there's hope. There is hope.
Yes,
we were talking about hope
yes.
tonight. Faith
okay.
is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence
uh-huh.
of things not seen. Now, it may not happen in my time,
But
at least it's still being brought up, and I understand that, man. It's not easy, brother, because when you have had somebody to say you're in competition, you said that earlier in this film that you played, you know, the recording that you played, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can you be equal when you got somebody that's got way more than you, but yet still you're going to talk about equal rights?
Okay.
How is that equal?
Okay. Right.
That means you
right.
got the advantage. Well, okay, let me go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay.
The word of God said, unless Satan get the advantage over us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Those
right.
are devices, man. If I got the advantage over you, you're not going to beat me out with me having the advantage over you unless I got some shown up game, man.
Okay.
You know, that's the only way I'm going to beat you out. So it's twice as hard on me because you got the advantage over me. So how am I going to beat you out? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be designed. And that means I have to bow down to you. I have to bow down to you each and every day because that's the way it's designed, according to what that speech brought forth.
Okay.
Know,
Okay.
That's a tough position to be in. You be in a position like that, man, you're going to have a hard time, brother. So, sister, you got anything what? That you'd like to say? I mean, that's,
No,
she's listening to us, brother.
All right, thank you. I want to bring this back in. I talked about this in the monologue earlier, Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And I think it's apropos to what we're talking about. And I think it dovetails to what you are saying and St. Louis is saying relative to somebody has to be the teacher. Someone has to take the lead and to instruct on how these things could be done productively. Now, listen to what Isaiah 28 and 9 says. It asks a question. It says, whom shall teach knowledge and whom shall make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Wait. Now, what is that saying? Consider, if you will, that everybody is not ready to come out and lead in this regard. So we need elders. We need individuals with knowledge and understanding, particularly to teach our young people, right, that it may not happen overnight, and as you said, Pastor, maybe not even in our lifetime, but we plant the seed today. We plant the seed today, and we continue to nourish that seed and teach the young how to nourish it, teach them how to harvest it in its appropriate time. Look what verse 10 says. For precept must be upon precept. What is a precept? It's
line
an order.
Upon line, bro.
It's an order. It's an order. It requires discipline. It requires structure. And you have to follow a pattern, you see. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little and there a little.
A little go a long way, man.
Yeah. See, sometimes, Pastor, some people think you got to do it all overnight.
No.
You work.
You know, on that one question.
Go ahead.
On that one question on who's going to teach, it's not going to be human beings. It's going to be technology.
Oh,
artificial intelligence and robots.
I disagree
Google.
With that. If we allow,
well, can
St.
I
Louis,
say what I see? It's,
yeah.
See,
yeah,
here's the
on,
thing
on.
That you have a tendency.
Hey,
who's
hold on.
Wait a minute.
Hold on,
some people will be saying.
I'm
yeah,
give
you but
flow.
You cut people off because you don't like what they're saying.
Don't be argumentative.
Then
it gets
into an argument.
Hey, Louis, hold on one second. I'm the host. This is my show. When I ask you to hold on, please
Well,
stop.
If you don't want somebody
gonna,
on your
I'm,
show comment, you should put
I'm
that
gonna,
in your headline
gonna,
and then stay away.
Listen. I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak if you want to. But you're not going to run the show, brother. I'm not going to have you overrun me now. I'm the host. I'm running this thing. I want to hear from you, but I want you to do that respectfully. Please, sir. Okay. I do want to hear what you're saying. I just wanted to stop you because you were making a point, and I wanted to make sure our listening audience was able to follow the flow of conversation and thought. We're not here to be chaotic. I'm not here to argue with you. I respect that you may have a different position than I do. Okay? But as the host, we're going to guide the flow of conversation. Now, I would love to hear what you're saying. If you will, sir, will you explain what you're talking about so the audience
I'm
can
explaining
understand.
This. Not only do I come up with a different ideology, but I can give you examples.
Okay,
where
go
is
ahead.
Artificial intelligence and robots is going to be that teacher that you mentioned in that antiquated verbiage out of those books. Look at Google and look at Amazon and look at your other technology firms. They have laid off tens of thousands of people because they built what has taken their place. And that's the way it is. In Black America, your kids are reading substandard and they can't do math.
Okay.
Look at the data. The data tells the story. Now, I think maybe through the methodology that you're trying to achieve these things, you are saturated. We know what saturation is. You can't get no more out no matter how much you put in the way you're putting it in.
Okay. All right. Well, I would say to you, if you allow artificial intelligence to guide your instruction, that's what will happen. But if you go and get an old-fashioned paper book and you sit down and start at birth with your children, you read to them 5 minutes a day, and you let them hear your voice, and you build a language-rich environment in their homes, that will take the place of artificial intelligence and anybody else's intelligence. You become the teacher for your children. Don't let everybody and their mama tell your children put foolishness in their heads. You tell them what they must know. That's what the Bible said. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they ain't going to depart from it. They won't leave it. I got a caller here from, looks like Illinois, 9966. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is Brother Doc. I'm getting a little feedback from you from 9966. But go ahead. You're on the air. 708-9906. You're on the air. Go ahead. Welcome to Talk Straight.
This is my first time calling in, and I'm a little confused as to how to do it, but I'm really enjoying what I'm hearing.
Okay.
I love the conversation, and I'm a little nervous, but you guys keep up the good work. I'm just going to get back.
You're doing all right, my sister. Talking about is the need. The topic is Malcolm and Martin, Black History Message 2024. And to summarize our conversation, and there are different views, as you heard from the gentleman from St. Louis, about perspectives. But what we're talking about is in 2024, how to take our young men and women off the streets, out of the destructive behavior. Not all of them are, but too many of them are, right? And to take those who have knowledge and understanding, provide them teaching and instruction. Now, what the brother was saying is that artificial intelligence, and I know that's using colleges and universities and even in public schools, there's some dialogue about how much it should be used. I get that. But at the end of the day, as the parent and parental authority over your children, you get to decide who teaches them, what they learn, and the direction they should go in. The Bible said, I'll reiterate it again, if you train the child up in the way they should go, ain't no way in the world they'll depart from it. That don't mean they won't be challenged and won't be exposed to other things, but they'll always have what you birth in them. That's vitally important. Did you want to comment to that, sister?
Yes, I would like to say something about that.
Okay.
Like you said, we need to take more hands-on approach of being involved in our kids and grandkids' lives and the youth that's out there today. We need them in the hands of the, what is that, the Inoculus and Roblox and all those kind of things.
Right,
and,
right.
Like you said, and give them a book. Read them a book. Spend time with them. Take
mm-hmm.
them to the library. Make
that's
a
it.
Big adventure to
that's
take
it.
Them to the library, take them to museums. Just make beautiful things out of things that's going to fill them up with knowledge and education.
Amen.
And I think all that stuff will make a big difference. I know AI is out there, but, you know, with God and with us putting everything that we can into them, showing them love and, you know, making them important, I think that will mean a lot. A lot to them to want to take the advantage that you're giving them and use it instead of just kicking it to the curb.
Sure.
You know, and I believe also that a lot of our young men are just left behind.
Absolutely.
A lot of them, if you put a little interest in them, instead of thinking they just want to be thugs, a lot of them want somebody to care about them.
Right.
And they wait. Right. They wait for somebody to notice, which all we see is the bad.
You're spot on.
We see that those are young men that need mentors. They need people that care about them. And as the young women, they need us older women to talk to them, minister to them, give them books, pass them some beautiful books. You never know. They might read them. All right, I'm done.
No. I love what you said. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, yes, I think it makes a case for us doing more at-home instruction or homeschooling, as some would call it, or building our own private learning bodies or facilities so we can control the curriculum, we can control the basis of instruction and the culture children are exposed to. Too often, and the point was correctly made, that artificial intelligence and Google and everything else, this little phone, you pick up the phone and that's where they get everything, all the information from. There's very little dialogue with their father and with their mother. That's a problem. See, that's a problem. You should be the voice of authority in your children's life, first and foremost. Now, I'm going to get on black churches. I'm going to get on church now. Because the buildings, the real estate in black communities, not everywhere, but too many times, they are going unused. This is how they can be useful. Open them up. Embed them with this type of instruction. Family-based, you see? And then you'll have a place to take them off the streets from gang-banging, drug dealing, hustling, slanging and banging. You understand what I'm saying? But this is something that's going to require the elders. It asked the question in Isaiah 28 chapter, who is it? Who is it that is going to know? Who's going to know except those who are mature enough? Who can teach that knowledge? Everybody ain't got no business being around your children. Help me, Holy Ghost. Having
so
influence
true.
Over your children. Everybody ain't got no business around them. I don't want something for... Well, mine are grown and gone, but I'm just speaking in general. This is the template. Pastor Waller? Did you want to respond? I think I heard you. Pastor Waller, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, and I'm still listening. And I'm thinking on terms of how popular the world way of doing things is.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what family person come from, I mean, you can come from the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. But one thing that is for sure, that a person ever experienced how attractive it is to be amongst people that seem like they're enjoying life. The trap is that real. I came from the trap. I understand what the trap is about.
Okay.
And so you made known of being concerned for those who are being lured into it. Because there is certain things that can lure people in when it looks like they're having fun. I mean, who don't want to enjoy themselves while you're young?
Well,
and
that's right.
That's where the power of the trap come in at. If there's no one around to train them up, as it said, train up a child ready to go, you know, and then when they're of age, you know, they will not depart from it. They'll find their way back. But what's happening now, Pastor Doctor, is so genuinely powerful that we have allowed the evil to seem like it's good.
Wow.
That it makes what's good bad.
Right.
You see, and be able to have a concern, you know, is what they need. They need somebody to be concerned for them, you know, be concerned about them. I mean, you got young brothers out there that got gifts, but once they get out there where the fun is, it's going to be hard to bring them back in. I'm talking about my experience myself, man.
A little kid,
you know, around there playing with the basketball. And basketball is not everything. But that was an innocent thing that I was doing, you know, having some fun. And then all of a sudden the trap grabbed a hold to me.
Right.
So it
happened,
and it's happened to a lot of our kids now. But it's good to know that I escaped, and now I'm living to tell the story. So just think, if people who really, really, really could do certain things, for instance, some people got financial, you know, they have a financial status of being able to do great things.
Sure.
Because their finances are really, really intact.
Okay.
And then you got somebody, you know, that say, well, this person, he got two books out. Well, go buy 100 of them. And when you see somebody in the street, go give them one of them, you know. That's when you have a concern. But other than that, just talking about it, man, that right there, it has no power, brother, because talk is cheap. But action speaks louder than words, so it's time for action, man. I mean, you know, these kids deserve somebody to be concerned. And it won't pay for me to have a bankroll of money right about now. Oh, man. I mean, it's so much work out there. You know how the words say the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not going to show no concern, man.
Right.
And that's just the way
it is.
They're just not going to show no concern.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Go ahead, St. Louis.
You know
what we going to say?
You may mention out of those passages about a language. What language are you talking about? And we talk about the enemy. Who is the enemy? But first, what language must you speak, your children be speaking?
Great question. Great question. I'll wait till you finish and I'll answer that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Your children should be speaking the language of Cobalt, Pascal, Fortran, Java. They should be learning how to speak the language of the instrumentations that's going to be ruling their life. It just announced that Russia is ahead of other nations with AI and robotic implementation that will be fighting its wars. It won't need no human beings.
Okay.
But those instruments have to be communicated with. And I still don't know who the enemy is.
Okay. So the any enemy is something that is antithetical or opposed against your best interest. So in this case, in the context of our conversation, the enemy to our young people are those who don't want to see them prosper, don't want to see them grow and develop, don't want to see them independent. That's an enemy to us. But I was going to answer you about the language. The first language that any child should ever learn is the language that is influenced by their parents, by their father and their mother. That's the first language. Now, any other conversations can grow out of that. But the first voice they should know is their parents. Huh?
Well, you make mention about parents. Parents consist of a father and a mother.
Amen.
And we know within one particular ethnic group in this nation, there's a lack of the one element. And that there is a big problem, I would say, because you said you agree a plurality there.
I concur.
The reality is that one element of that combination is not there. So
now
what do you do?
We have to work on bringing fathers back into the family sphere. And I got six more minutes, so I'm going to have to before.
Right. And maybe next time you can identify, as I always ask, who is the we? But,
well,
go ahead. You're running out of time.
That's a good question, too. That's a good question, too. You pose a good question. All right, let's do this. Let's do a round robin. Sister, thank you for joining us. You have a final thought before we leave, and then we'll, because Pastor Wallace is going to wrap us up for tonight.
I just believe that if we all reach, as they say, each one reach one,
watch
not
out
just
now.
Look out for our children, but look out for that boy and that other girl that their mothers aren't paying attention to and don't have time for. And I just we need to learn some of this new modern technology that's going on, and so that we not left in the dark. Thank you for a beautiful show.
All right.
And,
I believe you I believe you're going to preach on me before you leave. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We do it every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Thank you so much. All right, St. Louis, final thought there, my brother.
You can't teach yourself, you're going to have to go out and find someone to do it. That's just the way it is. And they're not going to do it for nothing. You have to be able to pay for it. So if you hadn't situated your life in the past so that you can be available for the expectations of the future, somebody's going to be left out.
Uh-oh.
And apparently, looking at the data and statistics, a lot is being left out.
All right. Well, we're going to have to change that. Somebody's going to have to do something to change. I think I'm going to jump in there and give my best shot. I appreciate that, sir. We appreciate you joining us here tonight. All right. With that being said, Pastor, the sister have anything to say right quickly before we leave? Thank her for joining us and tuning in with us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's still here. She might want to say something before.
Yeah, I really find it very interesting listening. So this is my first time experiencing Dr. Wallace. I mean, Pastor Wallace is really building up a lot of my character of knowing who I am. I'm brought up as a Christian family, but I really enjoy this, listening to y'all, and I've been blessed by hearing what y'all are saying. Thank y'all.
Feel free to come back anytime. Again, we strive to do this 7 o'clock p.m. On Tuesday nights, every Tuesday, unless some things happen sometimes. But thank you for joining us there. All right. Well, Pastor Waller, I'm going to turn the floor over to you to take us on. You've been listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And we've been talking from the topic, Malcolm and Martin, history message for 2024. There's hope. There's yet hope. And we turn it over to our co-host, Pastor Waller, to wrap us up for the evening.
Amen. We just thank God, man, for those two brothers who have a great concern, even unto death. Their concern still lingers.
Watch out now.
When I said lingers, that means that the power that they stand for brings forth hope. You know, the Bible says, according to the book of Romans chapter 15, it says, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, brother. Once we find out how much power it is in we, and the scripture said it now. I didn't say it. It just said, we then who are strong.
That's right.
Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's a beautiful thing to have concern for someone else. Pastor Doctor, I got to say this right here. There's a part in the book called The Flip Side. It says, I took time out to say I made you important and made myself unimportant because I want the best out of you. That means denying myself just to help somebody else, man.
Well,
and keep doing what you're doing because that's what love is, man. Jesus himself, he did not try to please his own self, man. He was just trying to help somebody. So just keep him first. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Thank everyone that tuned in. And I just believe, man, God would be pleased with knowing that the word said, where there's two or three gathered together in my name, he said, there I'll be in the midst of them. So on that note, I yield back to you, Pastor Doctor.
All right. And we'll be back next Tuesday night, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. And with that, we're going to leave, let you know that a change is going to come.
That's right.
Go straight.
My Lord. Say it, son. Now I think I'm able.